Welcome to the Global Missions Podcast, a show for Christ followers who want to participate more effectively in God's work both at home and to the ends of the earth. Visit us at globalmissionspodcast.com to find show notes, resources, and previous episodes. You can also engage with us through Twitter and Facebook. We would love to hear from you. And now, here's your host, Rob Magwood, better known to many friends as Mags.
Well, hi again, everyone, and welcome back for another episode of the Global Missions Podcast. Today, we're going to unpack a very interesting question. Is every Christian a missionary? And to do this, we have not one, but two guests. It's the first time we've had two at the same time, Denny Spitters and Matthew Ellison. And I didn't ask you guys before we started recording, where are you today? Denny, where are you sitting?
I'm in sunny Orlando, Florida.
Beautiful. And Matthew, where are you?
I'm in Albuquerque, New Mexico.
All right, down in the south as well. South from where I am in Canada, anyway. Just quick intros, guys. Denny Spitters has served for many years in different ministry roles, including two different megachurches. He's directed a parachurch ministry, and he's helped plant several churches. He's also spent 15 years as a business owner, and now serves as Vice President of Church Partnerships for Pioneers USA. And Matthew Ellison has served as a missions pastor in a big church as well. He was there for 9 years. And during that time, he realized that there's a growing wave of churches desiring to participate in global engagement in fruitful ways. And this led to the founding of his organization, or an organization. I don't know. Do you call it yours, Matthew?
No.
Not yours. God's organization. It's called 1615, where he is both president and a church missions coach. Over the last 12 years, he's been helping churches develop missions vision and strategy. Gentlemen, welcome to the program.
Yeah, thank you so much for having us.
Thank you. Thanks, Max.
Matthew, maybe just take a second and tell us, 1615, where does that come from? What does that mean?
It's named after the reference in Mark's gospel, which says, go into all the world, preach the good news to all creation. And we're involved in mobilization, and one of our core ways we do that is through missions coaching. So we come alongside churches, we help them to clarify a biblical understanding of missions, and then to develop a strategy that really takes into account their uniqueness as a local body.
Very practical ideas coming from Matthew's ministry, and looking forward to unpacking a bit of that. In some parallel ways, Denny, you're serving with a mission agency. Tell us just quickly a bit about your role with Pioneers.
Yeah, I've been with Pioneers for 12 years. I serve in the church partnerships team. We have about 10 people on our team, most of whom are in different regions of the U.S. And in a nutshell, we mobilize and serve and resource our sending churches of about 750 and an additional probably almost 3,000 churches that support people as well. So that's our role and that's what we do.
Mm-hmm. Very good. Well, these gentlemen, you can hear already, are well qualified to help churches address the topic of missions generally. And recently they've gotten together and written a book, co-written a book, which is entitled When Everything is Missions, published 2017, very recent publication. I just want to begin by asking, what sparked the idea to produce this book? Whose bright idea was this?
It's kind of a long story, Mags, but it's in a nutshell. Matthew and I talked about it a lot. One day I went and talked about it with our communications director, and the next day I had in my inbox a cover, which is the cover we're using, and he said, well, I've got your cover. All you have to do is fill in the blanks. So let me be clear. We didn't write this book actually from a desire to protect the turf of Missions Inc., of which Matthew and I in different ways are directly involved as mobilizers. This is not about writing a self-serving kind of protectionist publication. But our firsthand observation over the last 2 to 3 decades is that there's incredible confusion about what missions is, what resides in the minds of most North American believers and leaders. We think there's a lot of myths, half-truths, and missions drift that are rampant as we kind of observe a boundless, unquestioned expansion of what missions, in quotes, has become. So that includes deconstructionalism, rethinking, reframing, and a redefining of many historical and orthodox biblical terms surrounding mission.
Well, this rings true for me in my travels across North America, and especially in my case across Canada. I've found that many, many churches, might even say most churches, are rethinking missions. So many times I've heard that. We're just rethinking the way we're doing missions. And what I have found is very often churches, sometimes leadership and missions committees, whatever they have, they enter into a bit of deconstruction. They take all the pieces apart and set them out separately, a little bit dissatisfied somehow, but we're not always seeing the pieces put back together. We're not finishing that process. And so some of our discussion will surround these things here. Give us a sketch, please, of what's included in this book. What's the basic idea?
Well, I want to key off something that Denny already mentioned, that there's a great deal of confusion in a lot of churches about the Great Commission. And in fact, you use the word most churches are confused. And so what we really want to do is encourage readers to not rethink missions as you describe, but rediscover it. And one of the things that we talked about is this is the 500th anniversary celebration of the Reformation. And one of the key things that Reformation leaders focused on was not a rethinking or redefining of truth, but a rediscovery of truth. So that's the big idea here. We believe that a lot of churches don't have a biblical definition of missions that is shaping and informing their decisions, their actions. And if churches and church leaders don't have a shared understanding of their Great Commission purpose and goal, they're going to have a really difficult time fulfilling it. So I think that's at the heartbeat of the book, is that there would be a rediscovery of a biblical understanding of missions and the implications for local churches.
Yeah. The other thing is, too, we want to challenge all believers as Jesus' disciples and all church leaders in the North American Evangelical Church that no matter what the role is, to consider and reconsider the conventional wisdom of today that says every believer is a missionary and therefore everything we do is missions. So the big idea in the book is local churches don't really do missions well because they don't think about missions well. And local churches really need to go back to the Bible to define a foundational definition for missions work and ask, what did Jesus ask of us as his church when he gave his five Great Commission statements? What are we supposed to be doing?
Well, Denny, you've linked us right up to the core message that we want to unpack today, specifically asking that question, is every Christian a missionary? And I'll just say about the book for our listeners, these guys do a great job of unpacking some of the very big terms that we use in these days. For example, what do we mean by mission? What do we mean by missions? What does missional mean? All that stuff. I want to get to this question, though. All Christians are missionaries, this idea that you just mentioned, Denny. Let me simply ask, is every Christian a missionary? Why or why not?
Here's my gut response is everybody is not a missionary, just like everybody is not a pastor, even though we are to care and love one another in the body of Christ. Nor is everybody an evangelist, yet we are all chosen so that we might proclaim, the Bible says, the excellencies of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. So usually we see it used and hear it to rally people to evangelism and to witness for Christ. So let's just take Spurgeon as a great example. Famous quote, every Christian is either a missionary or imposter. All Christians are called to live on mission for God and be engaged in the Great Commission, but some are called to mission in a specific way, and many leaders and believers use this kind of phrasing to motivate people to witness for the faith, but it's simply not working here, and it's not really advancing the global missions fervor and passion. So I'd say please stop calling everybody a missionary because it's really not helping what we think it's supposed to be doing. So it's also clear that certain individuals and teams are set aside and set out for missionary purposes. Acts 13, 1-4, set aside for me, Paul and Barnabas, and for the work which I have called them. So every Christian is a missionary in every place a mission field has actually distorted the specific calling on some Christians, and I would say even minimized this calling, to devote their lives to full-time cross-cultural witness. And we just think the word is too precious and vital to what God is trying to do throughout the world. Or we must come up with a better term if that's the answer.
Yeah, that's right. You know, Justin Long, we quote him in the book, and he says something that's relative to what Denny just spoke about. He says, we say every member a missionary, but we don't actually mean that. What we mean is this: every member's a witness, ready to give testimony to what God's done. Every member a witness, ready to share the good news of salvation. Every member a disciple maker, who's working with people to help them grow in obedience to Jesus. But missionary means sent across a boundary where the gospel is not, to see the church established. So I think we talk about everyone being a missionary, but we don't really mean it.
Yeah. The other thing I'd say as well, Mags, is this is not about semantics. It's fundamental to understanding how the gospel is to be advanced in cultures other than our own North American cultures. The future health of our own church context in North America is directly linked to clear thinking about the mission's task and missionary roles.
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't hear you guys being down on being witnesses where God has placed us, i.e. here at home, if I can use that kind of expression. You're not down on that at all. In fact, you're positive toward that. We are to be witnesses. We are to be evangelists. We are to be disciple makers. Your concern is something about this boundary idea.
Well, I think it's about distinctives and about a role. And that's really important, especially in terms of understanding what the barriers and the boundaries are to the gospel as it's to advance beyond the cultures where it's already taken root.
Well, let's take this term missionary then, and if we can invest it with a definition, some would say we should just get rid of it altogether, but how are you defining a missionary?
Well, that's a great question, and a lot of people want to just dispose of the word because they feel, hey, it's just totally loaded, and so therefore linguistic will just lose it. And I would say, can we find the word missionary used or defined in the Bible? Well, even though it doesn't appear in the Bible, attempts to provide a biblical definition should have their limits. Yet to say missionary is an extra biblical concept may also go way too far. Kevin DeYoung claims, he says this, at the most basic level, a missionary is someone who has been sent. That's what the word mission entails. It may not appear in your English Bibles, but it's still a biblical word. So it's also linked to the word apostle, which is used more than 80 times in the New Testament. And it simply means a messenger or one who was to transmit a message. Now, a more narrow definition of the term missionary, one that offers clarity and definition, describes missionaries as those who are sent to plant the gospel within a target culture until it expands throughout that culture and perhaps beyond. It may not be possible to give a flawless definition of a missionary, but Herbert Kane suggests this. He says, quote, in the traditional sense, the term missionary has been reserved for those who have been called by God to a full-time ministry of the word and prayer, who have crossed geographical and or cultural boundaries to preach the gospel in those areas of the world where Jesus is largely, if not entirely, unknown. And this definition, he says, though by no means perfect, has the virtue of being biblical. So again, we would encourage people to go back to the Bible and really seek that out, especially church leaders and members of church missions teams, because what we have found is when we sit with them and ask them what missions is and who a missionary is, if there's 10 people in the room, we'll get at least 8 different answers.
Anything you want to add to the idea of definition of missionary there, Matthew?
Yeah, I would say there's a lot of biblical evidence for this preservation of a cross-cultural worker. 3 John comes to mind specifically. Again, there's a lot of different references, but it's one of my favorite passages on missionary care. And the author, John, commends Gaius because he gives these itinerant evangelist missionaries, sent out ones. You look at the context, they had gone out among the Gentiles. They were sent out among the Gentiles. And he says, we ought to care for such in a manner worthy of God's name. And there's a particular distinction that John gives to them. He doesn't say support any. He says support such. So again, I just want to backstop what Denny said. I mean, our heart is that people would search the scriptures and really seek to have a biblical understanding and definition of missions and missionary.
Hmm. Well, with that definition before us, and I've got the book open here, so I benefit from this, a missionary means someone who is sent, first of all, across a boundary to where the gospel is not, the third part, in order to see a church planted, not just converts made, so that that church can reach everyone in that place without the missionary being present. We would certainly agree that we're all to be witnesses, but we would certainly agree that not all believers are going to fulfill that definition there. In just a moment, I'm going to ask you guys to talk some more about the results or the consequences of this everybody being a missionary message. And I'm going to also ask you to help us with some practical ways for church leaders to respond to this, what they're hearing in this conversation. Just before we get to that, we'd like to share with you, our audience, a resource that might be helpful for you and your church.
Would you like to learn more about unreached people groups and how you can pray for them? The Joshua Project website has many resources to help you discover the unreached people of the world. There's even an app to help you pray each day for the unreached. You can learn more about the Joshua Project right here on the Global Missions Podcast by listening to episode 51 with Dwayne Frazier. For great resources, visit the Joshua Project today at joshuaproject.net. And now, back to today's conversation.
Okay, we're back with Denny Spitters and Matthew Ellison asking the question, or unpacking this question, is every Christian a missionary? Denny and Matthew have made the case that while all Christians are called to participate in the Great Commission and to be salt and light, not all Christians are missionaries in the true definition of the word. So, fellas, obviously you're concerned about this. From your point of view, not everyone's going to agree with you, we get that, but what are some of the negative consequences to this idea of everyone being a missionary?
Well, Mags, I would want to say when everything is missions, nothing is missions. Stephen Neal has said this, and that's not an oversimplification. But what is everybody's job tends to be nobody's job. So this is what I believe happens. When you call everything missions, you obscure the global cross-cultural dimensions of the Great Commission. And particularly, the priority of taking the gospel to the unreached and the unengaged, it gets washed out. So just think about this for a minute. If everyone's a missionary and every good or altruistic work is missions, why bother extending the gospel to the nations? And my experience is that human nature is very predictable when it comes to setting priorities. And so naturally, the things that affect us most intimately, which would be the welfare of our family and our kids and our friends and our community and country, those are things that are going to receive first dibs on our attention. But it takes a big adjustment to our mental and spiritual orientation for us to add a focus on what I would call geographically or culturally distant people who are living and dying without the gospel. So if everything's missions, Mags, I think we most likely end up neglecting or marginalizing the people that need the gospel the most. That's really, I believe, at the heart of this. And as Denny said, this is not just semantics. These are fundamental issues. And I think you see it, the statistics bear witness. Even today, 1 out of 10 missions workers goes to the unreached. Most go to places where the church is already well established.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's a risk. I think it's going to, some would say, cut the nerve or at least diminish a sense of urgency, perhaps, for the unreached. Listeners to this podcast know that we have focused a lot on the unreached, trying to unpack that idea and who they are and where they are in the show notes. Again, we'll provide the links back into season 2, where we were with the Joshua Project, for example, and really defining what we mean by unreached. But if everybody's a missionary and it's right next door, that concern could be diminished. Or do you agree with that, Denny?
Well, yeah. The problem with ignoring especially the core of the 5 Great Commission statements, and the thing that I see is that people wander off track very quickly and mission drift, so to speak, really occurs. So making disciples today, you're on mission with God to make disciples in your own context. Well, I would say amen to that. And many times I hear, well, Matthew 28 is the proof of that. Well, wait a second. Matthew 28 says that we are to go and make disciples of all nations, all people groups, all ethne. And people want to separate out the make disciples part, and you can't do that with the English language the way that's designed and the way that it's translated. You have to connect, make disciples of all nations. And David Mays, who has been a really, you know, faithful man over the years and is now with the Lord, said, by disconnecting, make disciples from to all nations or to all people groups, we use that verse like a drunk uses a lamppost to hold himself up instead of to illuminate where we're supposed to be going. So I feel like what really happens and what I see as it gets broader and broader and all-inclusive, everybody's a missionary. Therefore, if Mags, you're sick tonight and I bring chicken soup to you, I just did missions, is really creating just this gigantic mission drift away from the very core of the Great Commission.
Yeah. Mags, if I can add to that, you know, Denny's talking about the verbs there in that Great Commission statement in Matthew 28, and makes not even in the original language. The verb is actually disciple, and as Denny noted, it's a transitive verb. I think it's important that people understand that. It only makes sense if you're pointing to an object. So disciple, period, it makes no sense. It's only going to have full meaning if, you know, you're looking at someone or a group of people. In this case, it's the nations. And I wanted to say something else, Mags, that I think is really important. There's a lot of elements of the missional movement that Denny and I would say amen to and appreciate. You know, the West is increasingly becoming post-Christian, and that has changed the way people do ministry in the context of our culture. Canada's this way, the US is this way, Europe's that way. And we're changing the way we do ministry. We need to be salt and light. But what's come out of the missional movement, as we've already stated several times, is the thinking that everyone's a missionary and everything is missions. And once again, the priority of taking the gospel to all peoples gets obscured. But I just want to emphasize, we believe the church should be getting out of the church, being salt and light at all levels in its own culture. But that's the work of every disciple. You know, we've so lowered our standards of what it means to be a disciple. We say, oh, let's call them a missionary, and then they'll take the work seriously. And that's not what we should be called. We should be disciples of Jesus.
Yeah, and if you're not passionate about who Christ is, calling yourself a missionary is not going to change that. It's not going to motivate you to really share the gospel with your, quote, unreached person across the street who's not unreached, especially because he's got you, if you just simply get off the couch and go tell him. So that's where all of this confusion really begins to come in, and I think it's really hurt the North American church.
It's very interesting. We talk about a bit of a lack of urgency for the unreached, but there's almost this corresponding trend. As we've talked more and more about everyone being a missionary, we've actually diminished. In other words, I think your case is supported by what's happening in global missions. We've got less attention to the unreached while we say everyone's a missionary. It's just not working. Well, fellas, many of our listeners are pastors, church leaders. They may be on a missions committee, something like that. I'd like to get to your advice for them, considering the ideas we've discussed today. If they're saying, okay, you've convinced us, guys, that this deserves another pass, we need to think about this again, what should they do next? Matthew, what steps should they take?
Well, again, I don't want to oversimplify this. It takes some time. It takes some prayer, but pursue a biblical definition for missions. Don't settle for a definition that's constructed by circumstances or culture, but pursue in the scripture, God, what did you call your church to accomplish when you said, make disciples of all nations? What does the Great Commission's fulfillment require? So open up the word, pray that God would illuminate, and let the scriptures speak for themselves. I would say consider the vital role of a mobilizer. When we say not everyone's a missionary and not everything is missions, we're not saying that others are off the hook. If you're not a missionary, then you're off the hook. By no means. Missionaries can't go unless they're sent. So again, I'm thinking of 3 John, a great example. Gaius was not a cross-cultural worker, but he was commended by John because he cared for and enabled those who were sent out to actually go to the Gentiles. So I love what John Piper says, you know, there's a few options, go, send, or disobey. And so I think that's really what it's about. If you're not a goer, then be a sender, and your role is crucial.
Denny, if you had a chance to stand in front of that group, you've got their attention. We need to rethink this. Maybe we haven't got our terms quite right. What would you want to say to them? What should they do next?
Well, first of all, I'd say that if they were to read this book, I would hope that they would see from the very beginning of it to the end that Matthew and I love the church. We love the local church. We believe it is God's chosen tool to reach the nations, and it's his body, and he cares deeply about it. And we think that because we're a part of the church in North America, that we all need to really repent from kind of a lot of biblical myths that are not really in the Bible, reclaim biblical values guided by the Holy Spirit, that we should be worshiping, fasting, and praying for the Spirit's leading in our churches, and to embrace, I think, what's really at the center of this debate very, very often is that we have lost a passionate fidelity to the true gospel. And it's beginning to show up in a multiplicity of ways, and we are losing the whole idea of the priority of the gospel being what we're sent to bring to the nations. So I would say those are things that are very foundational, and I would encourage missions leaders and missions teams to really ask the question, how are we making disciples of all nations? How is that happening in our church? And what are the steps that we can take to really see that that can happen?
You know, I want to add something Denny said. He cued something in my heart there. He talked about embracing a passionate fidelity to the gospel. And I'm going to quote John Piper, who we cite several times in the book. But he says, where zeal for worship is weak, zeal for missions will also be weak. And I really love what Denny said. You know, just by calling someone a missionary, you're not going to stoke the flames of their heart for Jesus. What drove Paul was this idea that there are people groups, there are ethnic groups that have no witness of Jesus. Jesus is unloved, unacknowledged, unadored. And, you know, when he saw the city given wholly to idolatry in Acts 17, it says his spirit was provoked within him. And if we look at that passage and ask what's going on, I mean, Paul's stomach was tied in knots. And it wasn't because Jesus was being maligned, misunderstood. It's not as if the gospel was being preached and no one was responding. Jesus was totally unknown. Again, it ties Paul's stomach in knots. So I would say a big step is just ask God to kindle within your heart a love for Christ and for his name and renown.
Mm-hmm. It's a good word. Well, I've got one closing question for you guys, but just before I get to that, well, I guess it's another question. I want to ask you about resources that you recommend. Of course, I have this book. It's in front of me, When Everything is Missions. It's a very accessible book, about 140 pages, and it really has some very practical advice in the closing parts as well about how a missions committee or a church can think through using a few steps, how they can unpack some of these questions. But gentlemen, resources other than this particular book that you might like to mention?
Yeah, I would note that actually we've got a couple appendixes in the back of the book. One is a whole recommended resource list, not necessarily of just books, but significant articles that have been written that are easily available online and can really help shape what the mission's vision would be for you and in your church. And the other thing that Matthew and I put a lot of time and thought into, we want people to think deeply about this. So there's a section that's only about 4 pages long, but it really helps people with reflection questions that can move them forward and ask some of the foundational questions that need to be asked in churches and as leaders. And we think that they're helpful, and that it will be a blessing if they take the time to really go before it and let the Lord speak to them.
Yeah. We have another resource that Denny and I collaborate on. It's called the Mission Table. And what I didn't mention is that was one of the kind of, I guess, concepts that led to the book as well. We put the Mission Table together about 3 years ago, I think it was. And our thought was if we could gather leading missions thinkers and practitioners around a table and really tackle some of the most critical, controversial topics that were impacting missions, it would be worthwhile for churches and missionaries and mobilizers. And our season 1 episode is our most viewed episode, and it was called Is Everyone a Missionary? That resource is available at missiontable.org. Again, there's probably 25 different episodes on there and more coming out on a regular basis. But that one in particular is relative to the topic we're discussing right now. And then, of course, I want to give a plug for Perspectives. I know of no better course that really unpacks the grand narrative of Scripture, this amazing redemptive story of God on mission to call out worshipers from all nations, tribes, and tongues. And there's not a place I don't go where I interact with a church and someone says that course was really essential in shaping my biblical understanding of missions.
Another great recommendation. And in the show notes, we'll include an interview that we did in our first season about Perspectives as well. You can learn more about that well. Hey, somebody's got a call coming in. Popular guys. Is that you, Danny?
That's me. Sorry about that. High tech.
I want to finish, guys. We've stirred the pot a little here. In fact, there are probably some people really wrestling with this. Maybe they've heard, they've got a sign in their church, you know, over the door. Many of us have seen it. It says, you're now entering the mission field when you leave the church or when you drive out of the parking lot. But I'd like you to finish on where have you seen this really bearing fruit in a positive way? Let's turn to the positive here. Where have you seen this really for the glory of God, Matthew?
Yeah. You know, I mentioned with rare exception, do I interact with a church where you pull mission and church leaders together and they have a shared biblical definition of missions? Usually there's a lot of disparity in the room and a lot of disagreement. One particular church I worked with in Venice, Florida, just last year, they began the coaching process with 1615. And a big part of the process early on is helping them to wrestle with a biblical definition of missions that then shapes and informs their missions actions. And there was a handful of people on the missions team that held fast to a biblical historical view of missions, that it was cross-cultural and global. And others had adopted the prevailing philosophy that everyone's a missionary, that, you know, the teenagers in our city are unreached and all of those things. And it was a difficult time of, again, working through these things. And probably about midway into the process, there was this Holy Spirit moment where God had really spoken to these leaders and they had come together and they said, yes, the gospel is global, it's cross-cultural, it's for all nations. And, you know, some of those that were in, frankly, in opposition to the idea that mission should have a distinct cross-cultural element, they become the biggest champions of it. And here's what's amazing. This church is now engaging two unreached people groups in a completely brand new capacity. And the pastors are championing that vision to engage the unreached. And they're not slowing down their efforts to reach their city at all. They just made a distinction. Domestic ministry matters. It's essential for the life of the church, but it's not the same as taking the gospel to all nations. And so they're seeing this reflex benefit. It's actually helping people to be more mindful of the loss that are even all around them. So that's just one example. There's certainly many more, but I've never seen a church, I've yet to encounter one, that embraces a biblical definition of missions, again, that takes into account the global cross-cultural pieces of the Great Commission. I've never seen that negatively impact their outreach efforts. Have not seen it happen.
Yeah. Well, gentlemen, I want to say thank you for spending this time with us. It's an afternoon when we're recording this. It's actually the month of October 2017. We mentioned the 500th anniversary of the Reformation as we try to think well about gospel work and to think deeply, as you guys say in your book. Thanks for helping us today. Really appreciate you guys spending the time, and may the Lord bless your work as you continue on.
Thanks, Mags.
Thanks so much, Mags.
Well, I really appreciated that conversation with Denny and Matthew. I got to sit with them a couple of weeks ago at a conference and to just review some of the ideas in the book. And it is a challenging idea. Again, I want to make sure it's clear that we're saying it's not either or, local ministry versus global mission ministry, but really both and they're seeking to preserve that term missionary to maintain the urgency of seeing the gospel move forward across barriers to unreached peoples. I do recommend their book. It's It's short in paperback form and very useful. It'll help you think through these questions. Remember, too, that you can find the show notes from this episode on our website at globalmissionspodcast.com, and that you can filter on the homepage all the episodes if you're looking for a particular topic in the podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, we'd sure appreciate a review on iTunes. It just takes a minute, and it helps potential new listeners decide if they're going to give us a try. If you are a regular listener, you already know this, but we are always glad to hear from our listeners with suggested topics or interviews that you'd like us to consider in the future. That's all for today. This Global Missions podcast is produced by the Jaffrey Center for Global Initiatives and SEND International of Canada in collaboration with other like-minded agencies. On behalf of our team, thank you for listening, and we invite you to join us again in 2 weeks when we'll continue to explore this grand adventure of being Christ's witnesses to the ends of the earth.